Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I am founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call diaprax. It's the very opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's actually leaning to your own understanding. That's Genesis 3, 1 through 6, which is the dialectical process. You can take philosophy classes until you collapse out of sheer brain knowledge, and that's all it is, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The pattern, the system, the general systems theory, excuse me, whatever you want to call it, the Genesis 3, 1 through 6, the pattern that Satan used to get the woman to practice the dialectic. And it's amazing, as I study psychology and sociology, that I can take everything that I've learned and see it right there in every facet of those scriptures, those six verses. Now, in the last few programs, we've been talking about Theodore Adorno, particularly his book, The Authoritarian Personality. The focus on this book develops because, excuse me, as you look at the contemporary American education system, its development in a very serious form. Of course, it was John Dewey that had a big catalyst in it, but its serious form was from Bloom's Taxonomies. The first book came out in 1956, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive or Knowing Domain. How do you know? What do you know? How do you come to know? And the second book, 1964, came out in entitled Taxonomy. That's a classifying, a continuum of Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain or Feelings Domain. Now, the affective domain is actually what Satan was dealing with the woman in the garden. And that's our feelings of resentment towards anything that inhibits our relationship with something in the environment that stimulated our desire to relate with it. And so it works like this. When you want to go out and play with your friends and your parents said you couldn't, you cannot, a restraint upon your natural inclination, we naturally want to get them in dialogue. In other words, begin sharing opinions. And in an opinion, you carry your feelings and your parents carry their feelings. And if you can find that common feeling, then you can help them to justify that your feelings are okay and you can go out and play with your friends or do whatever it is that you want to do. But they stop the process of liberation of pleasure by saying, because I said so. And in that statement, the process comes to death. It just simply dies. It's the end. Externally. Now, internally, the process keeps going. And it goes like this. Well, I ought to be able to go out. Now, in all of philosophy, the is an odd issue. The is, the parent says, I am the one in authority. God says, I am that I am. But the one in authority also authors something. Now, to have an authority, you have to have somebody under their authority. And therein, you must direct their course of action. And therefore, you not only tell them what to do, you tell them what they cannot do. And if they don't feel like doing, or they feel like doing what you tell them not to do, or they don't feel like doing what you tell them to do, therein is the affective domain. You tell your child to take the garbage out, and they turn around and they express their feelings. I don't feel like taking the garbage out. Well, then you take care of those feelings. In other words, it doesn't matter how you feel. So their feelings are forced to be in agreement with your authority. Now, Bloom's taxonomies were all developed by social engineers, and Adorno is a groundworks research that justified, in the eyes of the social engineers, their process for curriculum development. And what that was, the affective domain, was how can we allow and create an environment where the children can share their dissatisfaction to the parents' commands. Not in a sense up front of saying we're going to defy our parents' authority. And you find in the garden, when Satan gets Eve into the process, He doesn't come to her and say, well, you know what, you need to just tell God to go take a hike. He's irrelevant. He created a sequence of events, an environment, where Eve, by sharing her dissatisfaction in her opinion, because your opinion carries your dissatisfaction, to restraint, and then showing her that in the environment, whatever restraint that was, it didn't make sense. See, there was nothing wrong with the tree. See, physiologically, materialistically, there was nothing wrong with the tree. The tree that God said you cannot eat of. Well, why couldn't they eat of it? If there's nothing wrong with a tree, why can't I eat of it? If there's nothing wrong with me going out and playing with my friends, if I look at the environment, if I see in the environment, there is no harm, there's only pleasure, there's no pain, then why does the person above me tell me I can't do it? And the reasoning is then, what makes sense, see, sensuous, what makes sense, what's reasonable is that your outcome is right. And that makes the parent's command or higher authority's command irrational, unreasonable. And therein, if you can justify, it's all about justification. If you can justify to yourself that what you want to do is right, then you can do it and you freed yourself from the restraint as long as they're not around. See, and so that's what Adorno's work was all about. How to liberate the next generation from this patriarchal experience of the home and do it in a classroom setting, and make sure there's diversity, which you can't get away from. I mean, the moment that God took formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of him, that's diversity. There's flesh and there's spirit. So that you can't get away from until we have a new body, which is spiritual. But the dichotomy, the above below, that God gives us, and then that we find in Scripture, light, dark, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, contrast, has to be negated. And so if you're going to have world peace, we have to focus on what we have in common. And what do we have in common? Is our temporal, natural behavior. So when Eve looked at the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and she found that it was common with all the other trees, that's the structure of communism. And it has to be by perception, has to be observable, and it is repeatable, because if they would have eaten of that tree, yeah, I could have eaten it indefinitely if God had never shown up. They did have a conscience, though. You notice that they became self-conscious. And they clothed themselves because they realized they were different. Well, if Adorno had been there, he would have told them, you know, you're not different. We're all the same. There's equality. And they would have undone their first scientific project, turned leaves into clothing. But, and of course, that's, you know, Abraham Maslow, his hierarchy of needs, in his journal, he says nakedness is absolutely right. So is the attack upon Christianity and Judaism and the anti-erotic association. So you find right away that they're actually beyond what Satan had done with Eve in the garden and Adam, because you know, he hadn't had enough counseling time with them to deliver them from self-consciousness in reference to a standard higher than them. In other words, to liberate them from any temporal or even spiritual restraint from commonness. Well, now, if looking at Adorno's material, he writes, in Authoritarian Personality, family relationships are characterized by fearful subservience to the demands of the parents. Now, that comes when the parent says, because I said so. There's an element of fear there. In other words, there is a consequence for disobeying. And so the structure of the family, the relationship in the family, which is a hierarchy system, top down. The husband's to rule, desire of the heart of the wife is to her husband, and children are to obey their parents in the Lord. So it's all in the Lord. And there's a fearful subservience. There's a fear of God. And of course, as I've shared in prior programs, Mark said, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, in the earthly family, there's a fear of the parent for doing what's wrong. And in the heavenly family, there's a fear of God for doing what's wrong. And so, you know, if you don't fear God, So if they, and I'm, as a Christian, I don't fear God, but I fear his judgment, his consequence. You know, if you do counter to what the boss has told you to do at work, and he's coming down the hall, and you see him coming, and he's going to see what you just did, there's an element of fear involved, okay? That's because you did something wrong. Now, you might have, in your own mind, done it right, and he might actually agree with you. Now, you don't know, but there is this fear. What if he disagrees, see? And so there is this fearful subservience to the demands of the parent and an early suppression of impulses. Now, as I've shared in prior programs, that whether it's Freud or, now Marx didn't particularly focus on this, but the social engineers do, that there's, and John Dewey did as well, they call it mimesis. There's this something within us. Of course, the Bible is very clear. We're drawn away by the lust of the flesh. There's something in us that the environment triggers, and our brain likes it, it's pleasure, and we look into the environment for what created it. Now, and a standard that comes in says, no, you cannot follow your natural inclination. You know, you put a car on an inclination and leave it to its natural inclination. That's your impulses. If you're left in an environment where you can be spontaneous, that's the purpose for role playing by J.L. Moreno, was how can I put adults in an environment where they can be impulsive and freed from suppression of standards, i.e. from God, from their parents, from the laws of the land. And therefore, by role-playing, you can experience, you can actually practice deliverance from accountability, higher authority. And so he's saying, in this family relationship, there is this early suppression of impulses, not acceptable to the parent. And so that's exactly what God did in the garden. He put a cannot in a garden. There was an impulse to touch it. And it's not acceptable to God, definitely not to eat of it. Because, you know, if you start a little, it just doesn't stop. The flesh is never satisfied. And so it's an issue of, you know, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. Because if you hang around, you're going in. So you're going to do it, whatever it is. And so the family relationship, the character of it is, first of all, a fear of the consequence and a suppression of impulses. Then he says, the conception of the ideal family situation for the child. Now, this is a child who's under a patriarchal system. Uncritical obedience to the father and elders, number one. In other words, you don't question their authority. You don't question their commands. Pressures directed unilaterally from above to below. In other words, the pressure is from above. The pressure isn't from the environment. The pressure is from some source greater than the environment. Now, this is amazing to me. Okay, no man can sit down and put this stuff together. I mean, you find this as a spiritual system. Number three, inhibition of spontaneity. Something has to inhibit you from just, if it feels good, just do it. And four, emphasis on conformity to externally imposed values. When God put a cannot in the garden, that's an externally imposed value. When your parent told you you couldn't go out, that's an externally imposed value. And so when you look at what Adorno's writing in his book, that Bloom says is his worldview, his Weltanschauung on page 166 in the Affective Domain, his whole agenda is to negate the structure of the home, to fulfill what Karl Marx said, once the earthly family, uncritical obedience to the father and elders from the child, pressures directed unilaterally from above below, other words, you better obey the parent, inhibition of spontaneity, other words, you can't just go out and do whatever you feel like doing, and emphasis on conformity to externally imposed values, other words, you better accept this parent's standards, that has to be negated. And Bloom's taxonomy, every teacher in your community, structured on Bloom. That's curriculum development, Christian schools as well. And if you've listened to this program, you know I keep harping on this. Well, folks, at the end of this whole thing, somebody's going to say, why didn't somebody tell us about this? Well, it should have been, somebody should have been screaming from the rooftops 50 years ago. But where are they? This curriculum development, this system, this dialectical, heresiarchical system, this paradigm, is all about the destruction of the traditional home. Why? Because Mark said that traditional home puts inside those children a pattern, a way of thinking that's correlates with the way of thinking of God, of obedience to God, of pressure from God. In other words, you better obey. There's consequence of inhibition and spontaneity. Don't follow the flesh, an emphasis on conformity. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Into the image of God, into Christ. And it's externally imposed values. It's spiritual, external to the flesh. And he said, Mark said, and this is Feuerbach thesis number 4. Once you realize, that's class consciousness. Now your conscience that you can't be yourself. Your parents interfered with your true identity. Eve could not be herself. Her true identity was to relate with something in the environment. And there was an inhibition. And it was God who was the great inhibitor. God is a source of alienation. God is a source of division. God is a source of oppression. God is a source of division between man and himself and man and society and man and the world. And Mark said, once you realize that class consciousness, once you realize there's one who's above you, say for instance, and he wrote about this, the king's horses are not the king's horses. They are your horses. See, you just have been raised wrong to think that that was somebody else's horses. That's really yours. That's not somebody else's property. That's your property. You know, the liberals really believe everything is their property. That's Karl Marx. And he said, that traditional home that teaches you this is mine and that's yours. You know, over here, there's property rights. There's rights of the parent. This is my child and not your child. This is my land and not your land. This is my nation and not your nation. Liberalism is the annihilation of that system. God was saying when he put a can out in a garden, this is my garden. You attend to this garden according to my rules. And a liberal dialectical mind negates that. Mark says, once you realize this class consciousness, there's somebody above you who's irrelevant, because when Eve looked at the tree, there's nothing wrong with the tree. There's nothing wrong with the property. It's her tree. It's her property. It's her world. And God is irrelevant. And as Nietzsche said, God is dead. At that moment, in Eve's mind, God was dead. He didn't exist. He was worthless. He was irrelevant. Now, she might not have said he was worthless, but as far as the praxis was concerned, she's free of God. And Mark said, once you understand that, once you understand those commands from your parents are irrelevant in a rapidly changing world, this is Bloom's taxonomy. Every teacher, Christian included, that's certified on Bloom, every accredited Christian school included, is built on Bloom. And that's what's being presented today. There is no fear of God in Bloom's taxonomy because God's word is irrelevant. You just can mingle it with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I just say these Christians out there say you got to have a little flesh with the gospel. You got to have a little flesh with God. That's all Eve was doing in the garden. Got to have a little flesh. See, that's the touch. Got to touch the tree. Well, once you decide that you can touch the tree, you can eat the tree. You know, the fruit of it. And God's word is irrelevant. It's subject to your opinion. It's just your opinion. It's just your theory. It's just what you think. Well, I think this, you think that, and therefore opinions rule the world. Well, when somebody comes to you and say, when you quote the word of God, well, that's just your opinion. You say, no, it's not my opinion. It is God breathed. It is God's word. I'm accountable to him. When Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He didn't share his opinion of the word of God. He shared the word of God. You go to the minister today and you get into discussion on the word of God. They're eventually going to try to get you into how you feel and what you think. It doesn't matter how they feel or think or I feel or think. It's God's word, period. On the day of judgment, that's the standard. Every breath they take is a gift from God. And they can dialogue all they want. But Jesus said, there are those who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the good things we've done in your name. We got in these committees. We took polls and surveys. We found out the felt needs of the community. We even prophesied. We did all miracles in your name. And his response is, depart from me, you work of iniquity, because I didn't know you. How does Jesus know you? You died to yourself. You didn't look into the environment and take polls and surveys. As Tim Clem, a friend of mine, once said, he said, we have a new Bible. It says, go ye therefore and take polls and surveys. That's not the word of God. You preach and teach the word of God. It is. And it says, this is right and that is not, period. No dialogue. No, why can't I? Well, I want to do this. I oughta, I shoulda, I mighta, I coulda. That's the language of rebellion. And that's the language, that's the spirit in the church today, the apostate church. That's anathema to the home. And Mark said, once you realize that structure that from God is in the home and in the church, the traditional family that is the original, yeah, that's the first experience the child has of that system, that patriarchal system. Mark says, that family has to be annihilated. That system has to be annihilated. And that's all Bloom, that's all Theodore Adorno's book, The Authoritarian Personality, is all about. How can we come into American culture, which is very family-based, and use the education system to deliver the children in the classroom from respect to their parents and go home and challenge their parents' authority, create crisis in the home, and then we have parents as children coming in and restructuring how the parents relate with their children. We have child protective services knocking on the door, making sure the parents don't, they're afraid of spanking their children. You seen a child spanked out there in the marketplace? Let me tell you something. That's the hallmark of communism, socialism, globalism. That's a hallmark of Satan. Because he doesn't want to recognize accountability to God. So when I read these statements by Adorno, I just see a destruction of this nation. A destruction of the home was the key purpose of teacher certification. And I meet teachers all the time, and they hate this stuff. But they don't understand the quagmire, the mess, the evilness that they're involved in. Because they're still a part of, well, I can make it work. Then he says, okay, again, realize this. The conception of the ideal family situation for the child. Because they've been contaminated. This is, Freud would call it neurosis. This child is neurotic. And then here is, directly tying to Karl Marx. Now, if Bloom's taxonomy is the worldview of Theodore Adorno, and Adorno is built off of Karl Marx. Marx says the earthly family is a result, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, the former must be annihilated both in theory and practice. Theory is getting all the opinions out. Don't have the children in class say, Dad says this, Mom says this. Have them share how they feel and what they think about what Mom and Dad says. That's what Satan did. Don't have them doing like Jesus. It is written, it is written, it is written. That you want them to get their theory. It's just an opinion. As I shared in the last program, I've had people come up and say, well, it's, you know, when I quote the Word of God, well, it's just your opinion. No, it's not. It's God's Word. Well, that's your opinion. I just tell them, listen, Karl Marx said you must treat every ideal and every truth as an opinion. That's all they're going to do. Their only survival is getting you off of the truth of the Word of God into sharing how you feel and what you think about it. And you just changed your paradigm the moment you participated. And that's the intent of inductive reasoning used in the classroom today, even in the Christian schools. And you look at the Christian schools and in the immorality that's going on in those institutions that are accredited. And then Adorno says, God, now realize these are secular people now. The Supreme Court said, we don't want religion in the schools. You know, keep your religion. We don't want to be preaching down somebody's throat. And here's the man they're using to justify their decision. There's secular over here. There's religious over here. And these guys certainly are just concerned about the material things of the world. We want a scientific mind. And then you read their books and they're directly going after God. He writes, God is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support. See, God supports, he'll feed you, he'll clothe you, he blesses you. And as a guiding, see, God directs you, the parent directs, and sometimes punishing authority. One sentence, and they sum up the characteristic of God and the characteristic of the traditional home all for the sake of destroying it. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance for our problem. What's the problem? How to get God out of America? You know, you can say, in God we trust. Well, you can have all the religions of the world today. Our leader of this nation in Berlin in July last year, he said, we must break down the walls between the Christian and the Jewish and the Muslims. The first commandment is thou shalt not thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Has to break that down. That used to be in our schools, the public schools. How did they get there? 150, well, the public schools were only started back in 1850s, but say for 100 years. We had the Ten Commandments in the public. How did they get there? Because we were a nation who feared God. Christian nation? No, but a nation of Christians. And the home was predominant. But, you know, the whole look at the 60s. It was a destruction of the home. I mean, outright war against the home. If you get on my website, authorityresearch.com, I've written an article on civil disobedience. And it's irrefutable. The guys who actually write about civil disobedience promoting it recognize the destruction that has to take place of the traditional home. You got to get rid of the father figure. The father who tells the children this is right and that's wrong. Was dad right in telling, as Martin Luther King Jr. Had a friend, a white young friend he wanted to play with, and the dad came out and said, no, you can't play with this little black boy. Was that father right? No. But as far as his office went, he was right. He just needed to understand that the gospel is not about race. And if you understand the spiritual issue, the father would say, it's good. This is a son of a minister. And share the word with him. And let him share the word with you. But instead he said, no, he made it a race issue. And moved away from the sin issue. And so both sides were wrong because Martin Luther King Jr. said, we've got to destroy, this was his agenda, we've got to destroy that father who says this is right and that is not. And it's a destruction of a patriarchal system. Martin Luther King Jr. in his book, Strength to Love, he said that Hegel's dialectic, he actually mentions his word, is truth is not found in the thesis, in God's command, nor the antithesis, God, Satan's opposing of God's command, but in the emerging synthesis, which reconciles the two. Where is truth found? In Genesis 3, 1 through 6, in the process of looking into the environment and finding what we have in common and putting aside anything that interferes with our natural, humanistic, carnal inclination, and we can include the gospel as long as you leave the law of God out. As long as we focus on God's love and we cover it with eros. Oh, let me turn that around. As long as you bring eros in, and that's tolerance, and then we can merge eros with agape and cover eros with agape. You can sell agape any day of the week in any of the churches today, as long, and that's the marketing stuff, and cover up eros. Jesus talked about wolves in sheepskin. That's all it is. Love. What an ambiguous word. Well, we're going to pick up on the other side of these messages. My name's Dean Gocher, and I'm a founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and read more about this process.